Welcome to the program God and Country Radio, a program that examines current events through the lens of Scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. Today's program is a continuation of program 193, The Broken Covenant, a biblical way of assessing America's legalizing and celebrating of homosexual marriage. There are many ways to look at this new ruling, but from a biblical point of view, the issue is a nation breaking its covenant with God. As I explained in the last program, America broke its covenant with God even as Israel broke her covenant with God. Whether the covenant is written down or not is irrelevant. Every nation has a covenant with God, a requirement or an agreement from God. God expects mankind to follow his laws, even Gentile nations. Not that Gentile nations are to follow the ceremonial and dietary laws of Moses. Those laws were given only to the Israelites. But every nation is to follow the universal moral laws of God laid down in nature and in the conscience of every man. There is a covenant God made with Adam and his descendants. Hosea 6:7, "But like Adam, they have transgressed the covenant. They have dealt treacherously against me." And God has an everlasting covenant with all mankind, so that God says judgment will come upon all Gentile nations in the apocalypse because the nations have broken the everlasting covenant. Isaiah 24:5, "The earth is also polluted by its inhabitants, for they have transgressed laws, violated statutes, broke the everlasting covenant." So every nation has a covenant from God, even though Israel had a special, more defined covenant. And as Israel broke the Mosaic covenant, America has broken her covenant with God. We abandoned the original covenants in the 1600s. Those covenants that reference God and the Bible as the source of our laws. And in 1791, we adopted a less biblical document called the U.S. Constitution. But even that document we abandoned because it contained Christian truth which today's generation could not endure. Our Constitution gives the right to life. But by legalizing abortion, we have broken the plain meaning of our Constitution by allowing people to murder inconvenient life. Our Constitution in the 10th Amendment gives the states the right to regulate their own moral law. Yet we have abandoned that provision, and the federal government has stepped in to overturn state moral laws against sodomy, against homosexual marriage, against pornography, against adultery. And our original Constitution supported and allowed for Christian-based common law in America. But now the ungodly have taken the very Constitution that supported Christian-based common law and have used it to invalidate Christian law. Now, I've begun today's program by talking about every nation having a covenant with God, God requiring nations to follow his law. But there is a violation of another covenant, a covenant man to man, what is called a social contract. And the terms of that social contract may reference obedience to God's contract or covenant. One way to view our situation is that first, the nation has broken its covenant with God. And that's the most important covenant. But we have also broken our social contract. The colonists who came together to form America began with a social contract, as in the Mayflower Compact. The passengers on the Mayflower, rather than breaking up into different colonies, agreed to unite together into one colony. It reads, "Having undertaken for the glory of God and advancement of the Christian faith and honor of our king and country, a voyage to plant the first colony in the northern parts of Virginia, do by these presently solemnly and mutually in the presence of God and one another covenant and combine ourselves together into a civil body politic for our better ordering and preservation and furthering of the ends aforesaid, and by virtue hereof to enact, constitute, and frame such just and equal laws, ordinances, acts, constitutions, and offices as shall be thought most meet and convenient for the general good of the colony, unto which we promise all due submission and obedience. So in social theory and in practice, people agree to unite together into a country under certain laws. The colonists would not have been uniting together with a group of pirates who believed that the social goal was to rape and pillage other people. There is an expectation of certain moral laws and certain limits upon government. In our revolution against Great Britain, the colonists claimed in our Declaration of Independence that Great Britain had violated the social contract by breaking the agreed upon moral laws. Therefore, quote, it becomes necessary to break the political bands which connected them to Great Britain. Why? Because we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it's the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles, and organizing its powers in such forms as to them seems most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Then the Declaration of Independence goes on to explain all of the moral laws violated by Great Britain. And I believe a case can be made, and a case will soon be made, that the Christian community has a right to separate from the United States. Because the federal government and the majority of people going along with the federal government have violated the terms of our original social contract, in that the federal government has abandoned the Christian faith for secular humanism. Now, I'd like to go on and explain the concept of America's civil religion, which was the basis for America's social contract. America was founded as a Christian nation. That fact was not recorded in the Constitution nor in the Declaration of Independence, but it was assumed. The Establishment Clause of the First Amendment was about prohibiting the government from promoting a particular Christian denomination, but it was assumed that Christian morality would be promoted by the government. Supreme Court Justice Joseph Story, who served on the court from 1811 to 1845, wrote that one of the beautiful boasts of our municipal jurisprudence is that Christianity is part of the common law. There has never been a period in which the common law did not recognize Christianity as lying at its foundation. I verily believe Christianity necessary to the support of civil society. Unquote. But now you know, our Supreme Court justices believe and rule the opposite. George Washington said, "It's the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor." And I could go on and on to quote founding fathers, legislators, judges, who all reference the Christian faith. There's really no doubt that the people of America agreed to a social contract based upon Christian morality. In 1967, Robert Bella wrote a book called Civil Religion in America, And in 1975, wrote a book called The Broken Covenant, America's Civil Religion in Times of Trials. Bella was a liberal sociology professor at Berkeley. And although he was an enemy of biblical Christianity, he understood that America abandoned her civil religion. And the point in his book was that America had a de facto state religion. In fact, every nation has a religion or an ideology upon which it's built. America was no exception. And he goes on to make the case that America's civil religion was not pure Christianity, but a general theism, a Judeo-Christian ethic. Americans were not willing to form a nation based upon an agreement with all of the doctrines of Christianity, but upon the concept that there is a God and that there is a higher law of God written upon men's conscience, which is called natural law, the law of nature and nature's God, which, by the way, is rejected by the legal system in America today. In the 1980s, one of the main reasons Robert Bork was denied confirmation to the Supreme Court was that he believed in the law of nature and nature's God. But the original social contract in America was a belief in God's natural law. The Christian conservative lawyer John Whitehead, in his book, The American Dream, explains and expounds on Bella's teaching. Whitehead writes, "The civil religion, on the one hand, was the public acknowledgement of God and morality, minus such Christian doctrines as salvation, the depravity of man, and the concepts of heaven and hell, which all tend to divide men. An important function of the civil religion is, of course, unification of people into a community." And here are some of the basic tenets of America's civil religion. First, there was an agreement on the second tablet of the law. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, steal, lie, you shall not covet. Second, there was an agreement that government was to promote righteousness and punish wickedness. Third, that all religions were to be tolerated as long as they did not contradict God's natural law. Fourth, America was to be a government by the people, a rule by popular vote. And fifth, there was a belief in limited government. God and God's law was to be over government. That the law of nature, nature's God, gives men rights. Rights do not come from government. John F. Kennedy said in his inaugural address in 1961, "The same revolutionary beliefs from which our forefathers fought are still at issue around the globe. The belief that the rights of man come not from the generosity of the state, but from the hand of God. Let us go forth to lead the land we love, asking his blessing and his help, but knowing that here on earth, God's work must be truly our own." Unquote. So this was a social contract Americans agreed upon in the formation of our nation. Now, before we go on, you and I know that this civil religion was inadequate and could not last. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:11. The civil religion, not being truly Christian and not being the true gospel, was unable to make people good. The only reason America survived was because true Christianity was operating behind the scenes. The civil religion was simply the world's acquiescence to some Christian truth. Why? For the sake of survival, unity, peace. Now, many conservatives and Tea Party people teach that America's civil religion is good enough. If we could just get back to the civil religion and to the Constitution, we will be all right. Those of you who have listened to this program for a while know that I work to identify and refute that thesis. In fact, they should do a whole program called America's Civil Religion Will Not Save Us. John Whitehead writes this. It was inevitable, however, that once the civil religion lost its traditional Christian character, it would eventually serve secular goals and ends. And that's the point I want us to see. That America's civil religion, this partial Christian morality upon which our social contract was based, has been rejected by the majority of the American people, so that our union is unraveling. The second tablet of the law has been abandoned, so that children, the elderly, the handicapped, do not have the right to life. Immorality is now acceptable. Secular relativism justifies lying. Covetousness is considered progress. And rather than the government promoting righteousness, our government is promoting unrighteousness. And America is no longer ruled by the people, but a rule by the mob. If you understand that concept, the majority violating the rights of the minority. And the majority is forcing the minority to accept a cradle-to-grave nanny state. And there's no longer a belief in limited government. Rights no longer come from God, but they come from government. And there's a split in our nation between those who want to hold on to the original social contract and those who want to abandon the original social contract for a new contract. Now, it's not phrased that way, but that's what's really going on. And it would be helpful if Christian leaders would begin to explain the conflict in those terms. If you examine the platform of left-leaning organizations, People for the American Way, the ACLU, this is exactly what they want to do and what they have done. Replace the civil religion and the original social contract with a social contract of pure secularism. In 2006, President Obama, who was then a senator, spoke at a liberal religious conference called A Call to Renewal. The title of his speech was Building a Covenant for a New America. And that title was no coincidence. He was expressing his dislike for the old social contract upon which America was built. Like all the people on the left, he wants a new covenant or social contract in America, where there is a secular humanist state, unlimited government, rights coming from government, the communist model. Now, in his speech, Barack Obama did not come out and directly state the real intentions of the left. But very subtly, he talked about reconsidering the relationship between the church and the state, between the state and Christian morality, and it was his way of introducing his new vision for America. Remember, he said many times that he wants to fundamentally remake America. And it was not very long after that speech that he said in three other speeches, America is no longer a Christian nation. And that is why the courts last month ruled in favor of homosexual marriage. Because the left believes in a new social contract that abandons Christian moral law and replaces it with law being a function of human desire. And furthermore, at the same time the federal courts were ruling for homosexual marriage, the Oklahoma Supreme Court, supposedly a conservative state, ruled that the Ten Commandments must be removed from the Oklahoma State House. And those two rulings are related. They are based on the belief that America is not to be under God, but under man. And that Christian morality is to have no part in American jurisprudence. And that is a breaking of our original social contract. Now, there are two points I want to close with. First, according to the Declaration of Independence, Americans who want to hold to the original social contract have every right to demand secession from the Union. Whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, the law of nature and nature's God, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it and to institute a new government. Now, I wouldn't agree with Jefferson's right of revolution, but I do see that in the near future, by God's doing, there will eventually be a second American Revolution and the dissolution of this union. But that is all about temporal, earthly public policy. My second point is far more important. We have all broken God's covenant. Yes, the left has broken the American covenant of 1791, but that is only an illustration of how all men have broken God's covenant by failing to live righteously. And that includes Republicans and Democrats, conservatives and liberals. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. God gave Israel his law in a covenant, knowing perfectly well that they would not keep the law. So that right from the beginning, Moses says, you do not have a heart to keep the law. God is going to have to be the one to change your heart. Deuteronomy 29:4. And for the people to ever keep the law had to be written inside the heart and not on stone tablets. The old covenant with Israel and God's covenant of law with all of the Gentile nations could never save anyone. It was only given to teach people their sin and inability. Romans 3:20, by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for through the law comes the knowledge of sin. And the biggest error religious people make is in believing that the law saves. And if a nation fails to keep the law, all that nation needs to do is return to law and just try harder. But as it says in Romans 9:31, Israel pursuing a law of righteousness did not arrive at that law. Why? Because they did not pursue it by faith, but as though it were by works. So no man is saved by the covenant of law. So God gave a new covenant, a new testament. Not like the old covenant which God gave to Israel, which covenant they broke, Jeremiah 31:32. But this covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord, I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And the new covenant is that if a person by faith receives Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, he will be forgiven and given a new nature. If our nation is ever to return to one nation under God, it will not be by returning to the founding social contracts or to the Constitution. That would be the result, not the primary cause. The primary cause will be individuals being transformed by the power of the gospel, the new covenant. The old covenant with Israel, the de facto covenant of natural law with every Gentile nation, is absolutely powerless. So that our nation will not be transformed by new contracts or new laws or new methods, but only by new men, born again by the power of God. And that is the unique gospel message which too often we fail to apply to our political understanding. You've been listening to God and Country Radio with your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. To listen to this program again or other past programs, go to godandcountryradio.org. From there, you can email me with questions and comments. That is godandcountryradio.org. Thank you for your prayers, your support. Thank you for making God and Country a part of your weekly discipleship. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, the truth, the failure of the old covenant, and the promise of the new covenant is not understood by so many people. Help us to learn these truths, and help us to clearly explain these things to a people who have lost their way. For the glory of your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.